Okay, I was going to start by, why don't you tell me a little bit about where your family came from and what they did, you know, what their names were.
My mother and father came from Rockingham, Kansas, but they moved to Hall River.
Okay.
And they were married at Hall River.
Were they farmers in Rockingham?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you remember that at all?
Oh, no. Well, that was before they married.
Oh, okay.
And then Papa bought a farm down
in Hall River.
Country below Hall River,
about
8 miles below Hall River. And some of us children was born down there, and some of them was born in different places. But we'd moved country, moved back
to the
mill,
uh-huh.
You know, to work.
Well, when did you grow up on the farm?
No, I lived on the farm when I was 12 years old.
Right. Do you have any memories of what it was like on the farm life?
Yes. We had to carry water a long ways, and Mama done all the washing and ironing and sewing for us, and she had 13 children,
13.
Raised 10 of us.
Wow.
And some of them would work at the mill, you know, they moved to Hall River, and two of my sisters and my daddy would live up there, and the rest of us would be on the farm.
So your daddy, he still was living on the farm, though, and working
at
the mill.
Yeah, he was still living, but he lived, he had a house, and him and the two girls kept house, you know. He would work and then come home on the weekends, and my oldest brother would.
Why did he decide to go into the mills in the first place?
Well, we couldn't make it on the
farm. What kind of farm was it?
I forget how many acres we had, but we just raised vegetables and things like that. We didn't raise tobacco. Papa didn't raise tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of hard to have that many children and keep up with just what farming had done.
Right.
He raised wheat and hogs, and he always had hogs and cows and horses.
Where were you in position among the kids? You know, which number were you?
I'm about middle ways.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I have three sisters over and on at him, and two brothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I had, four sisters, I believe, younger than I am, and three brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of in between.
Big family.
Yeah. Of course, Mama didn't raise but 10 of us. Three of them died, and one of them died, she's a year old, and the other two were born.
So your two oldest sisters went in. How old were they when they went in to help your father in the mill?
Oh, they was about 12 years old, I reckon. I don't know how.
Do you remember any of that when they first went in to the mill?
Yeah, because I would go up there sometime, and one of my sisters would stay at home, and I'd go up there and stay with the other sister, and I'd go in the mill with her every morning, and I'd thread shuttles for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't big enough to hang them up. She'd have to hang them up for me. And then when at 11 o'clock, I'd go home and warm up for dinner. She'd have the dinner already cooked, and I'd go home and warm up at 11 o'clock.
As a little girl, what did you remember about the mill? Or what did you think about the mill?
Well, I liked it. I've always liked it.
Uh-huh.
But it had changed so much during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But she was running six looms, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And my other sister, older sister, stayed at home.
And your father?
He was working.
Which department was he in?
He was a loom fixer then.
Hmm. Had he had mechanical experience beforehand, or done anything?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Just the mill work. I think he went in a young man and come off a farm.
Did he Did he have regrets, you know, having to go into the mill, or do you?
No, he never did like it. He liked outdoors.
Right.
But he had to do it to raise up the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first. And it was about time. I don't know where you ever heard tell of the wreck that they had, a train wreck that had
in
the
Hall River, 1918 or something.
Oh, it was way back. About 1910 or 11, something
right,
like that.
Right. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Were you, you didn't see it?
I was in the country then. Mm-hmm. Papa went down there and saw the colored man out.
Well, what happened? I don't know the whole story.
The wreck, it pinned the colored man in there.
Mm-hmm.
And my daddy, and I don't know who else, went. But they went down there from the mill. And Papa took his saw and things that he had and sawed the nigger out.
Huh.
And they begged him not to go down there because he risked his life.
Huh.
And the nigger did die.
Huh.
And then they fired my daddy because...
Because he...
He went down there and done that. It was off his job.
The mill in Hall River.
Yeah.
It was, which mill was that? It was just the Hall River mill. Right.
Yeah.
And then what did he do?
Well, he come back home, stayed a while, and then he went back and farmed and go get on meals and
work. Mm-hmm. Did all of your brothers and sisters go follow him into the mill?
No.
No. What did some of them do?
Well, my oldest brother, he farmed a while. When he left home, he went to a farm at about Effin.
Mm-hmm.
And, then he come to Burlington, and when it started up streetcars, he was conducting
streetcar.
Street
mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know what all else he done, but he worked at wholesale houses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know if you know anything about the Dixon Mill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he worked there at that flour mill.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then, he went to Texas, and I don't know what all he done out there, but I don't think he ever did work in the mill.
Right. He was the only one who did?
Yeah.
Or did anybody else stay on the farm?
Well, some of the rest of them, they worked in the mill, but they went to done other jobs. Now, my brother that I'm next to, he
mm-hmm.
went in the Navy, and I mean, went to the Navy Yard.
Mm-hmm.
He was in service the First World War. He was a
mm-hmm.
soldier. And he stayed over there. They sent him over there the first because he was in the standing army. And then he stayed a year after the war and helped clean up. And then he come back home.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked in the mill. He worked at the Navy Yard. And he was a plumber.
Hmm.
When he retired, he was a plumber. But I don't know what else he's done.
Mm-hmm. And the others?
Well, I had one. He worked in the mill. He was weaving a while. And he moved houses. It's construction
mm-hmm.
work. And he was a deputy sheriff a long time. And he collected taxes, you know. And,
was that for the whole county?
And he's a policeman first, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went in to deputy sheriff.
He was deputy sheriff for the whole county?
Yeah, Adams County.
Uh-huh.
And so he retired now. And he retired from the being a deputy sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he does a little truck farming.
Hmm. Did any of them stay on the farm or stay farming?
No. That's my sister.
Hi. What are you doing?
My name's... So none of them stayed in farming at all?
No.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know where my brother, he might have farmed some after he went to Texas,
mm-hmm.
but he worked in the oil field, and,
mm-hmm.
and so when he was retired, he was selling cars. And he was my oldest brother, and he passed away in 69.
Now, What do you remember about your schooling? You know.
I didn't get much schooling.
How much did you get?
I went to the third grade, and I wouldn't get to go to school and live in the country. No, we could live so far. I would get to go on bad days. I'd have to stay at home and help Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't make you go to school.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the same school as the mill kids? As the kids in the mill village?
Oh, yeah, when I was living, after I moved to...
Into Hall River.
Into Hall River. But I was living in the country then. And so when I was about 15, is when they compelled them to go to school if it wasn't but 14.
Right.
Under 14. And I went, come over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I skipped the fourth grade and went in the fifth.
Is that right? Is that here?
Here
Broad Street
School?
Right.
And, but in the meantime, I went to Hall River School and I went to Elmira School.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit, not much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And back then, they didn't promote you. When you thought you could go up, you went up.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I never did have confidence in myself.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I was afraid I wouldn't make it. And I didn't want to go up and then go back.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went to the third, finished third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so I come over here and I don't know, it's about 1916, I reckon. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anyway, I skipped the fourth grade and went to the fifth.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to work teeth and toenails to keep up. And then my mother got sick and with the flu, and I had to stay out with her. And I knew I wouldn't make it if I went back.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit.
Mm-hmm. About that flu, did that affect a lot of the people, the flu that came around that year?
Oh, yeah. People just died going and coming. Some houses of be 2 and 3 deaths in one place.
How old were you at that time? About?
Well, I was about 16.
Mm-hmm. Did it?
It was 1918.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I was 17.
Uh-huh.
I was 17.
But now, you told me that when you were 12, you first started working in the mill. Is that
yeah.
right? Why'd you go in?
To Lakeside.
Oh yeah, over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, why did you go in? You know,
well,
did they want you to go in, or did you want to go?
Oh, my daddy put me in, and he had made a little machine to make take bad filling and make good filling out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he put me on that, paid me 50 cents a day
mm-hmm.
to run that. Well, I run that a while, and then my brother got sick. He was carrying filling,
mm-hmm.
and I told him that bit. And he carrying filling, and he stayed out. So my daddy put my brother, my younger brother,
right.
and me
right.
in
there
carrying filling.
Uh-huh.
So then when he went back, somebody stayed out of the finishing room.
Uh-huh.
I mean the cloth room, if
right.
I would think. And Papa put me out there inspecting cloth. And
hmm.
I was doing a woman's job.
Hmm. And how old were you?
I was about 12.
Uh-huh.
And I worked out there until a woman got well, come back. And I had to inspect the cloth and sew it on a machine that they run it through and folded it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the yard,
right, right.
pole.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to take it. Now, a man done that, run that machine, but
mm-hmm.
I had to sew the cloth together.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it come out, he'd lay it over on the table, and I had to fold it two ways,
right.
you know, just make a boat about like that,
mm-hmm.
and tack it at both ends
right.
twice.
Right.
And, I done that, and then somebody stayed out or went off something, and Papa put me out there running looms. I had two looms, and it didn't have no drop eyes in it.
Mm-hmm.
It just plain loom. If a thread broke, it would mat up, and if you didn't watch it, and make a mess, and you had to fill your own shelves.
So he was the weave room supervisor by that time?
He was, well, they call him Boss Weaver, that's what they call him then. They call him supervisor then, but they call him Boss Weaver.
Had he had experience weaving before?
Oh, yeah. Fixing looms.
Fixing, too.
And he could do anything, mostly. I thought he could do anything. Because one time, I don't know whether this is interesting or not, some weaver gave him a mustache cup. It had a place on it, you know, where your mustache wouldn't go down in your coffee. They don't have them now,
I don't think so.
And so he gave him a cup and saucer. Well, we had butter on the saucer. And I went to cut the butter, and I broke the saucer. I said, Papa can fix it. It scared me, you know, and I said, Papa can fix it. But now that was when we first moved to Lakeside. And that's about all I've done down there.
That sounds like a lot of different things that you were doing.
And then Papa went back to the country. And he took the children smaller than me back with him. And so then we moved to Aurora.
So the rest of the family was here and he moved back to the country?
Well, he took Mama and the smaller children and they went to the country. And then we was at Lakeside, so my sister's got a job of weaving at Aurora, and so we moved down there. And
so you were staying with your sisters then?
Yeah.
And you were like 13 or 14 or something like that?
Well, I was about between 11 and 12. No, I believe I was 11 years old the day we moved to Lakeside.
Right.
In February.
You stayed at Lakeside maybe a year?
3 years.
Oh, 3 years.
I stayed there 3 years. Well, that made me about
14
years old. And so we didn't stay at Aurora for a year. And we moved there more. But during the time we lived in Aurora, it was hard to get a job, you know, a young girl like that. So I learned to, I went to Whitey Hoosier Mill to learn to pipe. And, then I didn't stay over there but 3 weeks. And I learned to, I was learning to top, but you had to put the top on and unravel it. Well, I hadn't learned to put the top on, but I learned to wrap it. Somebody, one is learning me, was learning me to wrap it. And somebody stayed out, and they had to give this girl more machines. And they give me what come off of one machine to wrap for her. And I couldn't keep up. Just learning, you know. And I made 33 cents. My machine stood most of the time. And so I quit.
Even though it was hard to find a job.
Anyway. Yeah.
So even though you, it was hard to find a job, you quit after
3 weeks. And well, I wasn't making enough money. I never was interested in hugging me. So then I went and learned to spoon.
Where?
At Aurora. And I couldn't, they didn't need nobody, but I learned anyway. And so I went to work up at a main street that has sewing room up there. And I went up there. And I worked, and I went in learning, and I was putting buttonholes and buttons and buckles on overalls. And so they paid me $2.50 a week when I first went in. Well, some of the rest of them was doing the same job that I was doing, and some of them was getting $3 a week, some $3.50, and some $4. And so I asked the boss man for a raise, and he said that's all it paid. I said, well, I can't pay my board for that, because board was about $3 a week. a week then.
Was it?
And he said, you don't have to pay for it, do you? I said, no. But I don't know when I will have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother told me to ask for a raise, and he said, yeah, I'll quit.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit. And I went home. Mama said, Emma, you can't quit. You have to go back. Papa said, no, she won't either. You told her to quit. And so I didn't. And then I went to King Cotton Mill.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a job on a barrel winder. And I made about $1 a day.
Okay.
But the job ran out.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have any. So I went home and went down to the name of that hosier mill.
Sellers
hosier mill.
Mm-hmm.
Down close to the coffin
factory. Mm-hmm.
And I started down there that morning and something happened to the power and they couldn't start up. And before they got started up, my brother come down there on the horse and said, they want you to our road.
Uh-huh.
And I run every step of the way home.
To where you
I was sit? Sitting right there at all.
Right.
Living right near. So then on I spooed at our oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I can make a dollar a day, and most time $1.10 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they give us checks for a box of spoos, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I keep there's 5 cents a check.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I keep 2 of them and wouldn't turn them in till Saturday. And then we work till 12.
Oh, of course, Donnie.
Work till 12 o'clock on mm-hmm. Saturday, and I turn them extra ones in, you know, so I make $1 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was $6 a week.
Big money.
That was a dollar old.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't live there for a year.
How did your brother find out? He was living in the country, right? How did he find out that they needed you at Aurora so that he could come down on his horse and tell you that they needed you?
Well, he was living there with us. We was all living there.
Right.
Then. Papa had done left the farm.
Okay. Oh, he had come back by this time.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And so Mama, when we moved down there, she came back to
Canada.
Uh-huh. And so we stayed there the year, but we had a horse and cows and hogs. And
right here in town.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Down in our oil. But when we moved to Lakeside, I don't know how many hogs we had, and we put them over there and made a big lot and put them over there, you know, and we kept hogs and cows and horses. And
did a lot of people do that too?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You could raise hogs. After we moved to Plainville, you could raise hogs up there, but they finally put it out. Chickens, we had chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Now that people don't have them.
Right, right. So you worked at Aurora until when?
Oh, I forgot when we moved to Delmar. We didn't live there for a year.
Right, right. And the
we
whole
lived
family.
3 years at Lakeside, and we lived a year down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the whole family moved to Elmira.
And we moved to Lakeside in 1912.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed there 3 years, and that'd been 1915.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed there a year, and then that 1916 moved to Elmira.
Uh-huh, and so the whole family?
Yeah, the whole family moved to Elmira.
And you all were together by that point again, and
uh-huh.
so forth.
We never did, of course. One of my brothers had done left home.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Texas.
Mm-hmm. He was in Texas already by that time?
Yeah, and my next oldest brother was in the Army.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. In World War I?
Yeah.
Did he fight overseas?
He went and stayed in the Army before the World War.
Uh-huh. But did he fight overseas too?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's the one that I said went over there when it first began, and then he had to stay a year after. After the war was over, he had cleaned in.
Did the war change him in any way, being out over there as far as you could tell?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed like the same boy.
Mm-hmm. And he came back here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Then,
but he's been away from here. He'd go to New Jersey and Norfolk and all. He worked at what he done in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And but he worked in Navy Yard at Norfolk.
Right. So then in Elmira, what did you do?
I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
But I was school a while, and then they needed me anywhere else, so they put me
on a different job.
I dogged, and that's a boy's job.
Mm-hmm.
And school.
Now, you said you did some boy's job at Elmira. What was that?
As dolphin. Uh-huh. And then I dolphed a while. Of course, I didn't do it long. And I had learned to spin in the time. My daddy wouldn't let us work in the spin.
Uh-huh. Well, why was that?
Well, I tell you, way back then, mm-hmm. the spinning room was awfully rough.
Mm-hmm.
And rough people worked in there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they were good as I was, I reckon. But
mm-hmm.
he just wouldn't let us go in there.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn to spin?
I would go and tear some ends down when we lived at our oil before
uh-huh.
dinner.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd go back in there and twist them up.
Uh-huh.
And I learned to spin that way.
Uh-huh.
So they put me spinning. My dad didn't know that I was spinning them.
Mm-hmm.
And he is upstairs. He's fixing lunch. Then they had a thing that you sprinkle filling, a great long thing. You mm-hmm. put the filling in there mm-hmm. and it would run through a sprinkle.
Mm-hmm.
I run that, and then they had put me in the draw-in ring.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't draw in, but I could hand in.
Right.
Then you had a hand-in woman and a draw-in woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to hand it in to draw in. And I would run that machine, and then it put me in the drawing room. And then it put me in the cloth room.
Mm-hmm.
But before we inspect cloth, wasn't in the regular finishing room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd inspect cloth. And then I'd go down there in the finishing room and work down there. And I'd do anything, inspect and back up and pack and run the tinning machine. And they just had different things to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's done, you know,
mm-hmm.
run it through a calendar or something and steam it. And well, I'd do anything down there.
Did you prefer any sort of work to different other kinds?
I'd rather weave and do anything I ever done.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
But then they didn't have a redrawn.
Mm-hmm.
They had the spoon, and this was at Elmira that they
mm-hmm.
they had this, and I done that. And then I was weaving at Elmira too.
Mm-hmm.
I run six looms, and it was the old woods looms. I don't know if you ever heard
mm-hmm.
tell them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have no drop eyes and
mm-hmm.
nothing on. Had to fill your own shuttles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd run six and eight. I have one eight.
Mm-hmm. Were you working under your daddy?
No. Papa was loom fixer then.
Right. So
Lakeside's on the time. He was a
head weaver.
Six,
right.
But he was loom fixer there on ours. And of course I worked on his section.
Uh-huh.
He had to fix my loom. And this girl had come in here just
mm-hmm.
now, she has run 10 looms.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, you know, 10 loom weaver was a good weaver.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to keep up with them, no drop eyes and nothing. You had to keep up with them, see that they didn't make a bad place. And if
mm-hmm.
you made a bad place, you had to pick it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a something like a cone. It was wired and picked
it's
out.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so
I
wove over there until I got married. I was weeping when I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I smashed. When they'd have a breakout, you know,
mm-hmm.
they'd have to have somebody put that breakout in, drawing all in three. Sometimes it'd be that wide.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been dating.
Now, when did you get married?
1919.
Do you remember how you met your husband? Was he also working at Elmira?
He was working there when we got married, but he was in service. And me and his sister and I were great friends. And he was in service then. And we run together all the time. We just like sisters, you know. We run together. I lived on one side of the railroad and she lived on the other. Well, we dressed alike and all, just like sisters. And I loved her as good as ever, one of my sisters. And so I was going with another boy when he come home, and he would call me, and him and this boy was good friends. And he would call me sometime and tell me things that this boy said about me. And I didn't believe a word of it. So then this girl and myself would go places, and her sister would tell me if I'd go with her, she'd stay up until we got home, and then she'd go home with me. They both would go home with me, you know, because I had to go across the railroad and all. So one Sunday, we went to Reform Church. My husband had just come in. And of course, I hadn't met him then, and I don't know how I met him, just going over there with his sister. So his sister, she talked real close, she said, and she called him Tick. Tick, come on, go home with meeting with them. So we started out. He said, you don't have to go. He said, I'll go with. So when I got to the railroad, that's as far as it goes, because we lived right around the corner. And I thanked him for coming with me. He says, I'm going all the way. So he went all the way. And then I still run with his sister. And didn't think nothing about him. So one Sunday they went swimming over the river, a bunch of boys, and he had a ring. It was a white sapphire, it looked like a diamond, but it set up, you know. And so he had it made out of a Mexican diamond, they called it, you know, it was a rock. And so when he come home, his sister missed that ring. And she says, where is that ring, Kid? And he said, I gave it to my wife. And she said, well, if you give it to two certain girls, she said, I'll cut it off with their hand. So he had it in his watch pocket. So somehow or another, he slipped me that ring so she wouldn't see it. So I tried to get it back to him, and he let me take it back. And so then one day, you know, girls had to be off with the picture then. You never heard tell of a girl going to a boyfriend's house, seen. Now they go stay all night. And all. So my mother told me, said, if you going with Everett, you got to quit going over at Jules. Says, you got to get one of them up. I said, I'll give Everett up.
So your husband's name is what?
Everett.
His name is Everett. Okay. And so you said you're going to give him up?
Yeah, I told her I'd give him up. I said, I don't care about him. I said, we just talked and all. But she told me I had to, if I went with Ellen, I couldn't go with Ellen. So then he went service. And again, see, he was in the, he was in service for me in the Mexican War. Well, then he went to Germany. And so he asked me before he left and went in service if I'd correspond with him. And I told him yes. So I corresponded a lot of boys. And so when he come home on Easter. And we were getting a little serious then. So Then we married in November. Come home east, and we married in November.
1919. Uh-huh. Right near the Armistice Day.
So,
was that when you moved out of your house? Or?
I moved out from my home over there, and I went to live his grand. We got a room with his grandmother, and we took meals at his mother's for a while. And then Pauline's daddy moved in a bigger house, and he said if we'd furnish a room, we could live with him. So we could take meals in the room at the same place, and we moved down there. And we stayed there from February to June, and then I moved over the side of Hope and Memorial Church, and was boarding with a woman. And
was that Miss Danny's house that you were boarding?
No, it was over at Hope and Memorial Church, across the railroad, and it was a civil forest. Then I went to work at the Southern Hosiery Mill. I had quit Elmira, and I went to work at Southern Hosiery Mill. And so one day I decided I didn't want to do that work because they put me. I was clipping, and then they put me clipping and inspecting behind the machines, and them knitters would just cuss me out. Because I threw some of the work out. And I had to do. I said I couldn't take that. And so I quit. I didn't quit. I got off for an hour and went across the railroad. And then had a, what is she called? Where trains run in, sidetrack. And flat mill wasn't that big then. And so when I got there at that gate where the train goes in, I met this girl that come in here, you know, my sister. And she's coming over there. She had done marriage, you know, and she's coming over there to get her job, and I'm going over there to get me a job at flat mill. And we went on around to the office. It was office and Miss Walter Williams lived in the back of it. Well, I reckon Mr. Robin had told you that. And he had his office in there, so we went in there, and he gave us both a job. But he couldn't give us both a house, because neither one of our husbands didn't work there. My husband was working on construction, these here roads, you know, between Elon and Glencoe. And so he gave us a job and gave us a house together.
Is that right?
So me and my sister moved over there in June 1920.
And that was when you went to work at the plant mill?
Yes, when I went to work at the plant mill.
Was it easy to get a job in those days? Could you get
But I always found something, you know, and if I couldn't get it here, I could do it somewhere else. But he gave me a job, and we was running, I don't believe they had drop ice in but he gave me a job running strip cleaning for kind of fire hand. And so I worked there in Wheeling until, and I raised my family, you know, there. But when I quit, when I got ready to go back, I went back to Wheeling, but the last time I went back, I couldn't get a job weaving. I got a job or redrawing. I learned to redraw. And so from that, I worked in a redraw room and a drawing in room, threaded heddles and things like that, drop eyes. And I cake wine, cone, creel,
everything.
Cleaned up bad yarn. Did anything they wanted to do.
How many kids did you have?
Five.
Five,
and I got four living, and my baby one didn't live but 12 hours.
And when were they born?
Well, my oldest one was born in 21, and my second was born in 22, and my third one was born in 25, and my fourth one was born in 27, and my baby one was born in 34.
And so you took off time for how long?
To raise my family, just have long, and I'd get a colored woman to come and keep house for me.
Did a lot of people have colored women?
A lot of women worked and raised their family.
Could you see your children? Which shift were you working during that time?
All three of them. I worked some on the first, some on the second, some on the third.
Could you ever get go across the street? Were you living across the street? Or which street were you living on when your kids were?
Well, when I was working at Elmar, I lived on Elmar Street. And then, down below the mill, the office is there now. And then I moved down on Logan Street. And I lived there until they shut down and they sold the houses. And I moved over on Trollinger Street.
Is that the house that Mr. Walter Williams got for you? Or? Which house did you
No, that was up there, close to where I'm living now, on Platt. Well, it's Wildwood Lane now. But my mother lived in the house that I'm living in now. And we live, it's just around the corner. And her back lot run into my daddy's side lot. And so then... I moved from there up on the corner because it was a flat mill house, and the one on the corner was a private home. And I knew that I couldn't live in a flat mill house and not work, you know, so because my husband wasn't working up there. So I got that house. That's where my first one was born. And it was a little two-room house up there. I moved in it. And so I lived there until I moved over on Elmar Street. And my husband was working at Elmar then, and he was overseer in the car and spinning. And so that's the way I got the one down on Logan Street. And then when they sold them houses, my husband had to get another job. He worked in a cash store there on Logan Street for a long time. Clerk on the road. And so then he went into the insurance business.
When was that?
That was, I reckon it's about 26.
He started selling insurance?
Jenny Life Insurance. And he sold insurance, and he worked at Swepsonville, and then he went to work at, he quit the insurance business and went to work at Old Niner.
In Graham?
No, White's. White's in Graham. I don't know, he worked at all of them places. And so then they sent him from Travola, number one, to Hall River, Trollingwood, war number two. And he worked there until he retired.
And he was an overseer?
Yeah, he was overseer of the car spinning.
Now, how much time did you take off to, when your kids were growing up? Like when one child was born, how much time was
it? Well, just born.
right.
I just, sometimes, and they'd always take me back, you know. And I went to work at the flat mill before my oldest was born, and I worked there off and on.
Until
I worked at Glen Raven one day.
One day.
I couldn't get a job at Flat Mill. And I went to Glen Raven and got a job, and I went up there and they made tent and awning material.
Right, we still do.
So the day I went up there, it snowed. And the snow was that deep.
That right.
Next day, I couldn't get back up there. So they cleaned the streets off, and I went over plaid meat. Mm-hmm. I was living on Logan Street mm-hmm. then, where you know the street.
Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I went over at plaid meat when they cleaned the streets off and asked Mr. Gregg if I could come and work, because I told him I had a job, but I couldn't get to it. And I said, I know you've got help but can't get here, and if you mm-hmm. let me work, I'll work till they come in. He said, I'll give you a job. And I'm shoving and snug. And so, then on, I worked there.
Uh-huh.
Only when they'd send me to different places, they sent me to Swepsonville one time.
How would they do that? They were all owned by the same management?
They was run by the same management.
And so, how would you go to Swepsonville?
I drove a car,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
and would ride with some other people. We'd pool the car,
mm-hmm.
And so
people would move around from different mills according to where they sent you.
If it didn't need me here, they'd send me somewhere they need me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need me down there, and I went down there, and the rig drawing run out down there. We just work on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Redrawing.
Mm-hmm.
I never did understand that, but all the week we wouldn't redraw.
Mm-hmm.
But on Saturday we'd have to go in and redraw. And through the week I learned to cop.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't pay even nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go down there and learn to cop.
Hmm.
And one time while I was working down there, they didn't have you sit down there.
Right.
And they wasn't paying me nothing. I thought it would be all right for me to sit down and eat my dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the boss man come around and says, you can't sit down. I said, how come I can't? He said, well, they don't allow you to sit down. And I said, well, they're not paying me nothing.
Uh-huh.
And so me crazy-like got up and said, stood there and eat my dinner. And he wouldn't even let you lean up against the post.
Hmm.
And, I just done what they said to,
Mm-hmm.
I could have went outdoors and eat my dinner,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't. But they cut that out. They had the, they used to have the straps
right.
and benches at the
right.
looms that you could sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got your limbs running off,
mm-hmm.
but they cut that out and you couldn't sit down.
When was that? Do you remember?
Well, no, I can't remember.
Was it before World War II? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was before that. And it was while I was working.
Mm-hmm.
So, they wouldn't let you sit down, and so the help or something come around and they cut that out.
Hmm.
Or they made them put benches back for people to sit down
mm-hmm.
and all, and they couldn't hmm. stop a woman from sitting there.
Hmm. Did other people in the plant protest against not being able to sit
well,
down?
They did in a way, but
mm-hmm.
They couldn't get nowhere with it, but until they come around, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know who started it, who got them to come around and check it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was awful. That, and you went in that mill, you didn't sit down.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And you were working how many? Oh, you weren't working looms. You were redrawing them.
Yeah, I was redrawing them.
Uh-huh. What
but I did weave at plaid mill some. Uh-huh. And when they had run crate,
mm-hmm.
and I run that, and I would weave them at three different times at plaid mill.
Were you working there during the Depression, up at plaid?
Wasn't that bad? Yeah, I reckon I was working there.
What do you remember about how the Depression hit Burlington?
Well, the mills, it hit it pretty bad. The people didn't have nothing, and I was working there when they started paying you 25 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, what president was it?
Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he made him pay him 25 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But depression didn't hit us. I didn't feel it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband was an insurance man. It looked like though it would have hit it pretty hard then. But
mm-hmm.
A lot of people, I've heard them talk about depression, but
it
really didn't bother me that much.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I never have had nothing no way.
Did you still have like cows and pigs at that time?
No,
say,
we didn't have, had chickens,
mm-hmm.
And cow,
mm-hmm.
but you couldn't have pigs. It's been a long time since
right.
they could have pigs. And
somebody I talked to told me that they remembered when the plaid mill owned a wheat field right next to the mill. Do you remember anything? They'd harvest the wheat?
Yeah, and they had horses and things. I don't know what they done with it, but I remember it. Of course, I was little.
Right, right.
And
you had no idea why they had wheat?
No, I never heard nobody saying anything about it.
Uh-huh.
See, I wasn't working it.
Uh-huh. Now, your family went to which church? They went to the Methodist church?
Oh, yeah. We went to different
uh-huh.
My mother and sisters and some of my brothers went to Hope and Mobile.
Uh-huh.
And I went there to Sunday school and preaching. I'd go to Sunday school and preaching Hope and Mobile on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday evening, I'd go to the Presbyterians preaching
mm-hmm.
in Sunday school. And then Sunday night, I'd go back to Hope and Mobile.
Uh-huh.
But when I joined the church, I joined the Reformed Church,
uh-huh.
and I stayed there until 1925,
mm-hmm.
when my third baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
I joined the Methodist.
Uh-huh. Why did you join first the Reformed and then the Methodist?
Well, I liked the Reformed, and
mm-hmm.
I just loved go down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just loved it. I don't know why.
Mm. And then the Methodist?
But then the reason I went to the Methodist, my husband went to Hope and Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said that his brother said he would join the Methodist if he would. I said, well, if you want to join the Methodist, I said, you go on. Because all his people had joined it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was right down below his mother's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you join it, and when I get where I can go to church, I'll join it. So I went to Reformed Church one more time after my third baby was born,
mm-hmm.
and told them that I was going to move. I said, now I'm not mad, I love to come here, but I said, I feel like it, I can go there more, and with my husband and the children. So that's the reason I'm a Methodist.
Did the management at the plaid mill encouraged people to go to Hoket Memorial, or
oh, no.
There was nothing.
No. Uh-huh. Mr. Walter Williams he was a wonderful person,
mm-hmm.
and everybody loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Just well, not everybody,
mm-hmm.
but all of our family did.
Mm-hmm.
But I just loved Mr. Walter Williams.
Uh-huh.
He'd been a friend like nobody's business there.
Uh-huh. How had he helped out the family?
Well, he'd give us a job, and when my sister-in-law was dying with cancer,
mm-hmm.
he hired his wife, he hired a nurse to go there and wait on her,
hmm.
go there and wait on her, and if we needed any money, of course I never did borrow any money from him, but
mm-hmm.
if we needed any money, he'd let us have it.
Mm-hmm.
I never did. And he was just really a good person.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard from a lot of different people about Mr. Williams.
He really was a nice one. It wasn't just our family, it was other families
mm-hmm.
too.
Did things change at the mill when he left, after he left or anything?
Oh, that's when they got where they wouldn't let you sit down.
That was a plaid mill too?
Yeah.
That
was a plaid mill too.
Was that connected?
A plaid mill, Mayfair, and I don't know where they had Belmont then, not already being in Swepson.
Now, did that have anything to do with Burlington Industries coming in, or was that before, or? Do you remember when Burlington Mills bought up the plaid mill?
I believe that was after Burlington Mills bought it.
What kind of changes did Burlington?
I don't know. Mr. Copeland was the superintendent.
And what? After Mr. Williams?
Manager, yeah. After Mr. Williams left, Mr. Copeland took over.
Right.
And this thing happened after he took over.
After he had taken over. Do you remember what kind of changes took place when Burlington Mills took over the plaid mill?
Well, they changed different things. They put spinning in and redrawing that run out, and they put other things in there to take care of that. And winding, I don't think it had any winding much when they shut down. And they put in different machines to run. They used to run. They had a warp room. They'd run warp and then run it and dye it and everything. And then they'd run it through some kind of machine. They'd run it on beamers. Then it'd go to the drawing. Well, they don't do that now. They slice it. Something, and I don't know whether it had slices or not at the plaid mill when they shut down. They had warp mills, they called them, I think, because my son-in-law owned a warp mill. They changed so much, I really don't know.
Do you remember when they had that strike of 34, when the National Guard came in?
When they, bombed it.
When they bombed it. Yeah. What do you remember about that?
Well, I was just scared because I was living on Charles Street then, and I wasn't working at Plaid Mill at the time.
Where were you working?
I wasn't working anywhere. It was about the time my baby was born. I forgot what month it was, but my baby was born and died in July. And that must have been 34.
Right. That's right.
And so I would walk up there towards the stores, and every evening they just throw rocks and all the cars would come out. And it was kind of scary.
Did you know any of the people involved at all?
Well, I didn't know who was throwing the rocks, but some of the people that was working, I did. I don't remember who the were.
What did you think about all of that, about the unions?
Well, I just didn't think much about it. It was kind of scary. And I don't think anybody ought to have a right to tell one another what they can do and what they can't do. And then people went in and worked, just risked their life going in there working because they didn't know what they was going to do. And they threw them great big old rocks. A lot of them went through a windshield and hurt somebody. But nobody didn't get hurt out of fun.
No, I don't think so either. What do you remember about the bomb?
It just went off.
Right. You didn't know any of the people who were at all?
No. Well, I forgot who I did know some of them, I reckon, that said was involved in it, but I didn't know the person.
Right. Then you worked at the plaid mill pretty much until when did you retire?
In 63.
And you pretty much worked there steadily from 1920 to 1960.
I went to all these other places, but
and then
except the Glen Raven. Now they didn't send me, but I didn't work every one day.
Right. Now how have things changed over that time? By the time you left?
I just can't tell you. They just changed all completely.
Well, what are some of the ways?
The machinery ain't like it used to be, and you have to run so many. And they had looms, you'd have to run about 100 and some looms.
Mm-hmm.
And they had shell fillers and people that fill shells and ones that patrol the looms and the warp mills, they changed them. They not exactly like just the material they made. It's different.
Do you think it's a better place to work now than when you started, say, or worse?
Well, no, they ain't working there no more.
I know, but I meant, you know, say, textiles in general. You know.
I don't know where it would be or not. People work out, they really get it down the country, say they have to work so hard. But we've always had to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
When you do a job, you got to work.
Excuse me just a moment, Cliff.
Cal
is Copeland's here today.
You said you're talking about work, you always have to work hard.
Well, always had to work hard in the mill or anything else you go at. If you do a good job, you got to give them 8 hours work or 10 hours work. When I went started work, I had to work 10 hours But people say it's so hard now, and they can't make production or something. But I've always found it about the same. You had to work if you made anything, which is on production. And I'd always rather work on production than day work. I work both, but I'd always rather work on production.
Now, how about the neighborhood of West Burlington? How has that changed? So people,
it's just all turned around. I used to know everybody at Plaid Mill, Elmar, and now I don't know my next door neighbor.
Well, how would neighbors? What would neighbors do with each other? You know, back.
Well, back then, when I moved over where I'm at now, well, not in the same house, but
in that.
My mother lived in there, Well, the neighbors would visit every morning before they even washed the breakfast dishes. They'd go visit one another. And my mother come and lived with me in 62 when she was living there. She said, Emily, you ain't got no neighbors, and I'm living in the same house she was living in. I said, Mama, I've got good neighbors. But they don't bother me. I said, if you need them, they're back. But if other times, they're busy about their things, and television has done a whole lot for the neighborhood. Because if you go in and they're looking at a program, they don't want to stop talking. But I told my mom, we got good neighbors. I said, the neighborhood, they'll do nothing for me. And his sister said he needed some outside help. And she told me to call him. So this morning, I come by the light place and the water place and the telephone and pay his bill because he's got nobody. His sister and her husband and two sisters lives at the same place and ain't one of them able to wait on them.
Well, you said when your mother got older, she moved back in with you, right?
No, she moved over on West Davis Street. They built them a home over there, and when they moved over there, I bought the home. Plaid Mill sold the home, and I bought the one that she lived in, and her and my sister's the one that lived in it. So she lived over there, I think, I don't know where it's about 15 years or not, but when my daddy died, she stayed there. My brother moved in. He bought the home. It burnt down when Papa got it near about done, and so he couldn't finish it. He had had all his savings in after raising all us 10 youngins. And so my brother took it over and let him live there until, as long as he lived, you know. Him and Mama just lived there, and my brother rented and let them live there.
So you all took care of your Mama?
No, they took care of themselves.
Right.
They took care of themselves. Mama worked at Swepsonville until she was 74 years old. Mm-hmm. And Papa, he worked. And they was working, and they were too old to pay Social Security. You know, you had to, if you're 65, you didn't pay Social Security.
Right.
Well, they was working then, and they didn't take it out on them. Well, then they worked until it come out that everybody worked had to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went back and paid their Social Security and paid it up to date, you know. And so they had Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
So Mom and Papa, he done odd jobs, you know, and all. He had a good lot over there. He's got a whole block in there, you bet it. And he farmed. He had a garden and everything. And so they took care of themselves until the last few years.
Uh-huh.
And my brother was in the Army, and he sent them a lot. And so then he got married and had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so he cut their allotment out.
Mm-hmm.
And then us children went in and paid what the government had been giving them.
Uh-huh.
And until my daddy died.
Uh-huh.
So they took care of themselves. And then my brother moved in after Papa died. He moved in, and Mama lived with him 8 years. And then she moved in with me.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed with me for about, I don't know, over a year, I reckon, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long she stayed. But anyway, my husband had retired, and he was sick a lot, and I was working. And my two sisters that you met a while ago, they came over and took them to my oldest sister's home.
Mm-hmm.
She was a widow, and my younger sister, younger than the oldest, she stayed with them, and she had to stay with me a while. And of course, Mama wasn't disabled the way I was said, but I was afraid to leave her. And I come home one time, and she was sick, and it had a doctor, and it was two or three of the neighbors, her daughters in there. She lived right next to me. And I said, well, I couldn't work like that. So we got together, and my sister done that kind of work, so we got her to come and stay, and we paid her to come there and look after my, all of us children did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the only time that we had to do anything for them. They got their Social Security.
Well, your mother must have lived to be quite an old woman.
92 years old.
Uh-huh.
And she's operated on for cancer when she said before. That's, she worked until she went to the hospital. And so she was bad off about 6 weeks. They'd been something for her, had nurses around the clock and all. And she begged them to make them leave her alone. And she wanted to die. She didn't want to punish them like that. And said they're just trying to keep her alive till all her children got home. But she made it, and she lived to be 92, and the cancer didn't kill her then.
Well, that's great.
So,
anything else that you have on those notes there that you
like? I think so. I just jogged in. I think I dug out all of it.
Most of it.
About weaving and material.
Uh-huh.
I done told you about that.
Uh-huh. Well, any final kinds of things that you'd like to say about, you know, how you view your life?
Well, my life's been wonderful.
Uh-huh.
I've had a hard life. lost my husband. Be 10 years in September. But I raised 4 children, and they all got a high school education, and they've all got their home and their families, and they live close around me. And two of my daughters lives right across the street. And well, I just had a wonderful life. Me and my husband, after they retired, now they didn't want to retire. And I told them they'd done me the greatest favor they had done. And I had 4 years that we just went wherever we wanted to and enjoyed life. We didn't have as much money, but we enjoyed life. We both loved to fish. And we'd go to Texas, to Florida, to Moorhead, to Surf City.
Okay, just two more questions. One, what were the best things about working in textiles and what were the worst things that you can remember?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I just enjoyed it all, and I really can't say.
Now, what did you want your kids to do when they grew up?
Whatever they wanted to do. And all of them worked in hosiery.
All of them went into hosiery?
All of them went into hosiery.
How about your grandchildren? What have they done?
Well, I got 11 grandchildren, and one, my oldest grandchild, she works in hosiery. And the next oldest one is the manager of Rosie's store at Kinston. And he's the one who had cancer. And he's doing just fine. And then Dennis, he's going to college in South Carolina, and he works in Eckers. His spare time until he finishes college. And Wayne, he's the next one, I think, and he's, I don't know what you call it, he works for the telephone.
Installer.
He draws.
Draftsman?
Yeah.
That's
what he studied to be. I mean, he's doing. And, then I got, who's next? I can't keep up with him. Oh, Linda Sue is, she's in Kentucky and in college, and she's studying, I don't know what you call it, but she works with the law. I don't know what you call it. But, she goes around, you know, and they abuse children, things like that, and child abuse. And
it's counseling.
And dope, and things like that. She works with something like that, and she's in her second year. Well, her last year. She took 4 years at Chapel Hill, but she couldn't get in that kind of
program.
Her master's degree. She's working for that. And then I got a granddaughter who works at Duke Power. And let's see. I got a granddaughter who teaches school at Jacksonville. I mean, at, what's that there, camp thing?
Camp Lejeune.
Yeah. She teaches school down there. And my other granddaughter, she just tends the baby, her baby. And let's see. And I got one that works at a place up towards Elon, a grandson. They make cones or something. What's it? Sunoco place, I believe that's what the name of it is. I've heard the filling station, but dang. And I got a grandson that works down Little Hall River. It makes, after maybe somewhere, it makes hose pipe. I don't know what they call that.
Uh-huh.
And he's working and going to school too. And he's getting married in August. And I don't know what he's going in. He's studying the same thing at the my other grandson that works at Bell Coffee in Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
He's studying that. And he finishes it. I reckon 4 years married.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's about all of them.
That's quite good.
I got one that's not old enough to work yet. He's right. Going to school.
Here in Burlington?
No, he lives out miles out of Townsville.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what he'll do.
Right. Well, that's a good record. It sounds like they're all doing well.
Sounds
like the family has always been very.
But I've had so much sickness, but I overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
My husband was sick just about all the time. He was gassed in the army and in the war and had shrapnel in his legs, too.
Mm-hmm.
But he never did get nothing out of it. I believe he could have if he had tried.
Mm-hmm.
But we made it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We made it all right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. Didn't know where the next meal was coming from, but we got it.
Great. Well, thank you.